CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. The bike can handle it. But I do look forward to getting another, like, smaller, easy bike to run around. So, yeah. Oh, the meat. Oh, with the plane in the background. Gangster.
Oh, jeez.
Look at George. George is sitting in the hangar with the plane. George, how
you don't
long
get
did
more
it...
gangster than that.
That is
the
so...
top gun of it all.
Right,
yeah, so, that's top gun shit.
Somebody take a picture of George and we'll post it on the website. This is so cool. He's sitting
I'll
in the hangar. He's got his plane behind him.
George, you did this on purpose, dude. Don't lie.
Of course he
did. I was listening to you, Rob. That's why.
So listen, what do you think of Rob becoming a serious bike enthusiast?
Yeah, I think that's kick-ass.
Yeah.
Well, why not?
You don't have to say that, George. I know you're a car guy, so... It's
wow.
Like I'm talking about my bike and George just comes on with these like dope ass airplane in the background. I'm just like, okay, time to go, guys.
Yeah, just shed on your stories.
That's my cue, dude.
He was at home and then when he heard the bike
like,
talk, he
drove over. Haircut. Looks like a skydiver. Fuck.
No, George, that's a beautiful plane, man. What kind of plane is that? Now, we've gone from motorbike enthusiasts to plane. Describe your plane to people who are aviators, and they'll get an idea of what you're flying there.
Well, this airplane is made in South Africa. The company is in Springs. It's been rebranded a couple of years ago, now called Bushcat. It used to be called Rainbow Cheetah, mm-hmm. which is this model. And it's a two-seater side-by-side, has a Rotax 912 engine in it, 100 horses, mm-hmm. and cruises anywhere between 85 to 100 miles an hour.
That just gave me a semi. I mean, I don't even know. That's the coolest shit in the world.
Wait, what did you say with the one name? Was it Cheetah? What was it called?
This one's called the Rainbow Cheetah.
Now, that's a good name for weed. Now that's a good name.
That's a very good name for you. So George, you're definitely getting lots of attention on the show these days. Listen to this. This is from Grant. Grant says, I only get to listen to the podcasts usually. I miss the live broadcast. But last week I was listening to George from Auto Trader. That guy has such a voice. I would let him test drive my wife just so I could listen to him give me a review. How's that? Jeez, you don't get compliments greater than that, George.
Thanks, but no problem.
No!
Yeah, George is a married man, so hold yourselves back if you can.
Oh, he's a married man and he's a gangster.
Such a gangster, yeah. I've got a friend. Listen to all the planes in the background. I've got a friend who flies, and I have to tell you, like, I'm not jealous of him because I suppose if I wanted to, I could learn to fly. You know, my dad had a pilot's license before he had a driver's license, and my grandfather and my uncle were both pilots, and my sister's boyfriend is. So I've got lots of kind of aviation around me, and I'm a little bit. It's not jealous. It's a bit. It may be an ego thing. That somehow he's cooler. He's cooler than all the rest of us because he can fly.
I don't know. You know, flying has this kind of, you know, this coolness factor. Before I was a pilot, it was like, wow. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest with you, for everybody listening, it is not that difficult to fly an airplane. It takes a lot of training.
Yeah.
But once you've got it. You know, you've got to concentrate a lot. It's not like driving a car. So, I mean, don't think for a second it's like driving a car. But it's like anything else in life. When you've learned the skill, it becomes enjoyable. You know, it's not like you're constantly working. You're only really working on takeoff and landing. When you're flying, you're not working that hard.
That's so nice. So, damn, man, I'm a little jealous. All right, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, so Gareth, the 25 worst drivers ever, driving countries ever in the world.
Okay.
Who do you think they are? And do you think South Africa? Do you think South Africa is in the top 25?
Yeah, I think we have more accidents than most countries, but I think Russia is the worst.
Russia?
Yeah, I you know how I say that? Because in Russia, everyone has a dash cam in their car because insurance claims are insane. And everybody in Russia claims that shit's happened to their car when they've just been drunk, basically. There's no such thing as traffic police in that country. It's a free-for-all. People drive shit cars. It's just a mess. Am I right? Is Russia at the top?
Russia is not at the top, which I would have thought exactly. It's not on the top, and you've got
India.
So that on the top of the list, believe it or not, is the USA. And it comes from texting and driving.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Texting and driving. Apparently, the 1.6 million incidents per year from texting and driving.
Didn't your hero Oprah Winfrey try to do something about that, Sia?
Yes, she did. She had the no phone zone pledge a couple of years ago. Thank you very much.
No phone zone pledge.
Yes, she was making people sign that they would their cars a no phone zone.
No phone zone. Well, so in second place is Turkey, and third place is Brazil. And South Africa doesn't feature in the top 25, which is interesting. Okay. In Africa, Egypt, Malawi, Nigeria, Liberia, Libya, Ghana, and Mozambique feature in the top 25.
Yeah, you see, now that you've brought up all those countries, I suddenly realized we're not so bad. I mean, we may have a huge road death toll, but those countries, you try to drive in a place like Lagos, it's a free-for-all. And
there are no lanes.
Anyone who's ever been to Lagos will tell you it's a complete – how anything even works is just beyond explanation.
Yeah, it's just anybody everywhere.
Okay, Russia's 16th. I would have thought it would be right up there.
Mm. Okay. No, I agree.
And Amsterdam, you guys have no cars in Holland because everyone's on bikes, so –
yeah, I mean, I must say, I feel so safe riding my motorbike here because, I mean, I've already racked up 1,200 euros in fine. I don't know how much that is. And that's just from doing, burnouts on the road. And
that's like 20 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Rob, I saw this incredible thing on Instagram the other day, and I think it's something George might even have mentioned before, of when they take a front end loader or some kind of heavy machinery, a JCB or whatever, and they let's just wait for the planes to go past George.
Yeah.
And they use these things to pull bikes out of the canals. They pull hundreds and hundreds of bicycles out of the canals.
But it's not even just bikes. The stuff that they pull up is crazy. It's like car parts. It's like scooters. I've seen them put up like washing machines, TVs, like literally the craziest stuff.
People throw them in.
I think during King's Day, which is like the craziest day here, people lose their minds and obviously do shitloads of drugs. And some of the tourists just, or the locals just break down their apartments and throw their shit into the canal. They're not even protesting anything. They just fucked up.
It's like Hillbrow when you throw TVs out the windows.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, Leanne. It's, we don't feel so bad when TVs and washing machines come flying out of Hillbrow flats.
Yeah. All right, George, what else have you got for us?
Well, here's an interesting one. Your dating profile. What kind of car, or should you have a car in your dating profile, and what does it do to your messages? And research says that on average, people who have a car in their photograph have 165% more inbound messages than vehicle-less people.
Damn, who knew?
No, you see, for me, it's the opposite. If a guy takes a photograph of himself in his car or in front of his car, then it's the same as holding a fish or a pair of panties.
You got to have the 35i with the guy in the driver's seat just parked over like this.
Well, let me put Rob out of his misery. So what beats the BMW, Rob, is the Jeep. If you have a Jeep in your profile picture, you get 243% more messages.
Just hold on, I'm taking this down.
Oh, that's so great.
And then BMW features it, gives you about 150% more messages if you have a BMW in your profile picture. And guess who gets the least amount of messages?
An Uno driver.
A hatchback driver.
Oh, shit.
Oh. You have a wife and kids, right?
Well, you get...
You're definitely taken. And in something boring.
Yeah, nothing left to give.
Yeah. And then the cars that get you a decrease in messages, guess what those are? So a Honda, a Chev, a Toyota, a Ferrari gets you a decrease in messages.
Oh, okay.
Probably because people don't believe you.
Yeah, I would say that.
I'm just looking, and Rob has got his bike in his profile picture on WhatsApp, and he's putting on his glove in the picture.
Oh, yeah. Badass.
Would that you reckon that would help?
I don't know about the glove, maybe the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never actually tested out these pictures on Tinder, if Susie, you're listening.
Yeah.
So yeah. Classic.
All right, what else, George?
Then the color of your car, what does it say about your personality? Some psychologists did some research, and red is often a color chosen by those who have a zest for life, apparently.
Yeah, and they tend to be shit drivers.
People really? In red cars.
Yeah, I've always looked out for people in red cars because they're slightly more attention-seeking and therefore probably a little more aggressive.
Oh.
Well, that's my understanding. I might be wrong. But George says a zest for life, so I suppose he's trying to put a positive spin on it.
Well, those people that drive red cars apparently are more outgoing, aggressive, fun, and impulsive.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then if you drive a gray car, you're a person that doesn't want to stand out.
Well, that's very true, because those are the cars that are mostly in accidents. But you literally can't see them.
Well, yeah, they blend into the background. I mean, if you have a silver-colored car, indicates that you're a high-class person with an eye on the upscale. And your status in your mind is higher in the world, and you're not afraid to show it.
Oh, see, he's very full of himself because he has a silver car.
Get it.
Let me say I have a silver car mentality there.
Just read that again, George, about what silver car people are. Because Sia actually visibly puffed up during that description. Go ahead.
Your status is higher in the world, and you're not afraid to show it. Your practical, innovative, business savvy, and good taste are evident.
Oh, George.
Sia's about to have the best weekend ever.
Music to my ears.
Living his best life.
And then if you drive a blue car, you're compassionate, optimistic, stable, honest, and serene.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. If you drive a black car, on the other hand, you are dignified and striking without trying to be showy.
Right. That's me.
These are like star signs.
Yeah. Yeah. Leanne is dignified, and sorry, already we've got a problem.
And then finally,
if
you drive a white car, you are associated with honesty and purity. And if your car is white, you have a taste and elegance to strive for perfection.
No, not true.
Do you remember that?
You're basically a kitchen appliance.
Do you remember that green cars were seen as bad luck, and that's why there were never many green cars? And then British Racing Green became popular 30, 40 years ago. And that for the first time we had green back on the scene.
Let's be honest, the only color we're interested in, because there's a long history of this color on the show, is brown.
Yes.
What does a brown car tell you about the person?
I don't know that.
I don't know. Let me see if I can look it up very quickly.
Brown
otherwise,
car. That's all we give a shit about, George.
A brown car. Gray. I've got silver, blue, green, brown or beige. Okay, so if your car is brown or beige.
Not too dark, okay, George.
You are down to earth, thrifty, and honest. You tend to put your foot in your mouth, though.
Yeah.
Okay, if you drive a brown car.
So brown is embarrassing, like we thought.
Makes sense.
I was driving a brown Bucky a couple of weeks ago, remember?
A brown Bucky.
I felt very down to earth and with my foot in my mouth.
Fantastic.
All right. Okay, cool. Anything else you want to throw in?
Well, very lastly, what do you think the top excuses are that people get away with when it comes to being caught by cops? And here comes another airplane. Give me one second.
I think it's that you need to go to the loo.
The top excuse, a third of people claim that they didn't realize they were speeding and they get away with it.
No, I tried that. It didn't work for me. I got arrested.
And then 20% of people get away with it by saying that they're late for work.
Uh-huh.
And another 20% get away with it by saying they have a medical emergency.
Oh,
and then, believe it or not, 17% of people actually get away with speeding fines, with not getting a speeding fine, by saying that they desperately need the bathroom.
Yeah, that's Leanne's one.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. George, thanks for coming to us live from the airfield this morning. It's very cool. Mm. We weren't expecting that. Nice surprise. CliffCentral.com.